أجمعين.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. My dear respected brothers and elders and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us the tawfiq to come to sit together to study this Mubarak book that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent upon all of us, which is the Qur'an. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us guidance, grant us success, grant us afiyah, grant us shifa, rahmah, nur from the barak of this Qur'an. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. So we are continuing the section about Surah Al-Anbiya. The last section that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the Quraysh before the stories of the prophets come in Surah Al-Anbiya, meaning the Surah of the Prophets, right? This last section is kind of like finishing up the final points Allah ta'ala wanted to address the Quraysh with. And so what that means is, we went over last time about how they were mocking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, making fun of him. So in their own internal gatherings, they were having secret meetings about the Prophet ﷺ, and externally, meaning when they met the Prophet ﷺ publicly, they would mock him and make fun of him. So they were insulting him with their words. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he kind of, if you remember last time, we spoke a little bit about the punishment of such people, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't hold back. وَيَقُولُونَ مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعْدُ. They ask you, when is this promise, if you are truthful. That In Surah Al-Anbiya, it comes on very strong because they insulted the Prophet ﷺ, and Allah Ta'ala doesn't tolerate such words. So Allah told the Prophet ﷺ to be patient, but for Allah Ta'ala said, I'm not going to be patient when I have to punish these people. So that's the back and forth there. So this next section here, from Surah ayah number 41, وَلَقَدِ اسْتُهْزِيَ بِرُسُولٍ مِّن قَبْلِكَ فَحَاقَ بِالَّذِينَ سَخِرُوا مِنْهُمْ مَا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهْزِيُونَ. This is actually the last part from the previous section, which I forgot to finish last week. So we'll just finish it here. Is that, and surely messengers from before you have been mocked, right? Prior to you have been mocked and made fun of. And فَحَاقَ بِالَّذِينَ سَخِرُوا مِنْهُمْ. So those who laughed at them were besieged. The word حَاقَ means to surround. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came from all four corners, from all angles, and He completely trapped them. You think about the people of Thamud and Ad, the people that insulted Prophet ﷺ, they never were able to escape. You know, Fir'aun died in the middle of the ocean. There was literally no way for him to run. Allah Ta'ala says, I will surround them with the punishment so that way there's no escape for them. Okay? And now the harshness and the severity of this is because not only were they making fun of the Prophet ﷺ with their words, and we have to understand this as believers, the Quraysh were given a challenge. What was the challenge they were given? وَإِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِنَا فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ. If you are in doubt about what we revealed on our servant, meaning Muhammad ﷺ, produce a single surah like the Quran. If you come with three ayat like the Quran, because the shortest surah is what? Surah Kawthar. Just bring three ayat. If you can just show that you can imitate and copy this, because we're all human beings, we all can copy each other, we all can imitate each other. That's part of human nature. We all are from the same blueprint. So you guys can copy Sudais, Shuraim. You wonder why you can do that? Because Allah gave you the tawfiq within you, the ability within you, to be able to copy people. You can copy Shakespeare. I talked about this before as well. You can copy Iqbal. You can copy different poets and authors. It's always been the thing. But for some reason, they cannot copy the Quran. And they're the greatest poets of the time. So now what's happening is they are losing intellectually. So then when you don't win on the intellectual aqli ground, what do you start doing to the person? You start making fun of them. Okay? Now you make fun of them, and you make fun of them, and you make fun of them, but their message isn't stopping. They keep going. So what happens now? What's the only way to stop them? Become violent. So now they start to threaten the Prophet ﷺ. They start to tell him that we're going to kill you. We're going to finish you. Your religion is going to die, and you're going to die. You're abatar. You don't have any children coming after you. You don't have anything after you. So why are you even preaching this religion? So now you have to understand that now they're threatening the life of the Prophet ﷺ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks on this type of insult against his Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which he says, قُلْ مَنْ يَكْلَأُكُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ مِنَ الرَّحْمَنِ بَلْ هُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ رَبِّهِمْ مُعْرِضُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, say, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are threatening me. You are threatening me. Who will guard you during night and day against the Rahman? Who's going to protect you? بَلْهُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ رَبِّهِمْ مُعْرِضُونَ. Rather, they don't want to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'll let you know how these two points are connected. First, the word kala'a, kala'a yakla'u, means to protect something constantly. It's always in protection. When you put something in a garage, that's a makla. That is a place where the car is completely protected. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a challenge to them, says, oh Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them, who can protect them night and day, day and night, to be there 24/7 to supervise them, to make sure that no punishment comes to them. Is there any human being in existence that can do that? That can watch someone guard you 24 hours, 7 days a week? Is there anyone who can do that? Who can make sure to supervise you? No. What's going to happen to all humans? Eventually you get tired, exhausted, I blink, you have to go to the bathroom, I can't watch you there. There are so many different things that happen throughout the day. I can't be in constant protection of you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, give me something in the world, in all of existence, يَكْلَأُكُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ, that can protect you night and day, day and night. مِنَ الرَّحْمَنِ, from the most merciful. And you're wondering in your head, why did Allah say Ar-Rahman? If you're talking to threaten someone, right? If I was saying like, you know, who's going to protect you from the kindest guy in the world? People like, that's not a threat, right? That's not a threat. Why did Allah say Rahman? Because you are lucky he's the Rahman. Allah says, you are so lucky he's the Rahman. Because if he was Azizun Zuntiqam, you would never even have a chance with him. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I am Rahman. That's how you know you have a protection. So now the answer to, and Allah put in the verse, who can protect you from Rahman is the Rahman. Who can protect you from Allah is Allah. That's why Allah said at the end of the verse, they turn away from the dhikr of Allah. If they only remembered Allah, Allah would protect them like He protects everyone else. But they don't remember Allah. So then they leave the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who can protect you from brothers and sisters in Islam? Who can protect you from hasad? Who has a shield against hasad? Can anyone show me the firewall for hasad? The McAfee for, I don't know, McAfee, whatever. Yeah, I'm trying to learn some computer terms for you guys, mashallah, so we can make it more entertaining for you guys. But who has the virus protection or the wall for hasad? Or who has the protection from jinnat? Who has the protection from shaitan? Can you show me all the doctors and all the physicians and all the people in the world that can protect you from hasad, from nazar, from ayn, from shaitan? Who has the protection? There's only one being who can protect you from all those things altogether. Plus all the sicknesses of the world. Plus all the poisons of the world. Plus all the issues in the world. There's only one being who can do it, who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you can remember Him night and day, day and night, you'll see that your life will be in afia. Allah will give you afia. Even when the musibah is happening, you'll still be in afia. Because even though the entire world is going through chaos and there's a issue in the ocean, the boat that you're on of iman is not going to move. If a person can only remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by remembering Him, you will attain His protection. You will get the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَمْ لَهُمْ آلِهَةٌ. Allah ta'ala even pushes it further. He says, who's going to protect you from the Rahman? Or do you have idols? تَمْنَعُهُمْ مِنْ دُونِنَا. Do you have idols that can protect you from us? لَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ نَصْرَ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Do they have gods who can protect them besides us? They can't even help themselves. They can't even help themselves. We always remember this funny incident of that one Sahabi who came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I mention it every single time because I laugh at it so much. That he said, Ya Rasulullah, I remember a time when I had my idol made out of dates. The idol I had was made out of dates. Okay. Maybe they weren't happy about the idol discussion. It's fine. Okay. The idol was made out of dates, and the Sahabi goes and says, but I was very hungry at one journey. Extremely hungry, extremely thirsty. No food, no drink. I was walking through the desert. I didn't know what to do. I went to my idol and said, please give me food. And then I looked at the idol, I said, this is food. So then I started to eat my idol. Right? You think these people, they make gold and silver idols, you don't think they're going to sell them off when they need the money? Don't play me, don't pretend. La ilaha illallah. Will the idol tell you stop, don't eat me? Will the gold idol tell you stop, you know, the gold Buddha, you think it's going to stop you from selling it? No. Because why? Because even if it was melted down, it can't do anything for itself. Wala nasra anfusihim. Right, and they have no one, وَلَا هُمْ مِنَّا يُصْحَبُونَ. They have no one from their side to help them against us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you literally have no one to protect you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why do you think you can threaten my Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You think you're going to get away with this stuff? There's literally nothing above Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's something above all of us. As humans, there's always someone above us. There's no one above Allah azza wa jal. And so Allah ta'ala tells them, you threaten my Prophet, who's going to stop me from destroying you? Don't threaten my Prophet. Don't threaten his life. Don't tell him you're going to imprison him or kill him or murder him or something terrible to him. You're not going to do anything against our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then Allah said, "Bal matta'na ha'ula'i wa aba'ahum." They go and say things like this. That because of our idols, we are given long lives. Because of our idols, we are enjoying this life. Because of our idols, we have bliss and happiness. The kafir can legitimately say to the Muslim that, you're saying your God exists, you're saying your Lord exists, but I live a much better life than you. I live a much better life than you. People can say that. They can argue that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, it's not the reason because of your kufr. It's not because you're a kafir that you live longer. Or it's not because of your idol that you live longer. بَلْ مَتَّعْنَا هَٰؤُلَاءِ وَآبَاءَهُمْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, rather we are the ones who have given them benefits for them and their fathers, حَتَّى طَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْعُمُرِ until the life becomes extremely long for them. It's not because of the idols. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, because of us. Why does Allah give a kafir a long life? Right, let's think about it. For a person who's not going to believe ever, then the things that they do in life have to be repaid back to them in this world. Allah is just. He's so just. He doesn't need to do this. He really doesn't need to do this. Imagine a student. We always talk about the exam hall last time, right? Imagine a student comes in, he hands in the paper to you. And you're looking at the paper, and you're seeing like the big parts of the test. 30 points, 35 points, 25 points, you know, 10 points. He answered nothing. And you're looking, you go through all the pages and say, where are the answers? Like, oh, look at the back page. I answered the extra credit. Okay? So then you open and you see, it's like, and he wrote whatever he could, whatever he felt like answering. It's like, what happened to the part that you're supposed to answer? He's like, I didn't feel like answering those parts. So generally people say that this person was such a good person. He's such a good person. Listen, a good person is someone who believes in Allah and does good deeds. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ Don't give your definition of good. Because you and I have many different definitions of good. We have 15 people, 20 people in this room. We all have 15, 20 different opinions of what good means. The only one who can say what is truly good is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala said what is good is what? You believe in Allah and you do good deeds. Now sometimes a kafir will do good deeds. So where does Allah Ta'ala pay them back? In this world. Gives them whatever they want. And he doesn't even need... Imagine the teacher, after you show them his extra credit paper. You know, the paper you gave him. He's like, here's a couple of Snickers. You know, enjoy the meal. You know, like, you know, imagine he gives you a full meal afterwards. Imagine he gives you a house afterwards. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does to people. That they didn't even pass the test properly. Yet he's so Rahman, he's so kind, that he still gives them something in this life to enjoy. He's like, here, enjoy it. And then you make dua, of course, we all make dua for them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not attribute it to your idols. Your idols did not do it. Your kufr didn't do it. It's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you that long life. He's the one who prolonged it for them. But, and then he goes and says, and this is the strongest part of this entire section. It says, أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّا نَأْتِي الْأَضَ نَنْقُصُهَا مِنْ أَطْرَافِهَا It's a beautiful part, and I wish we always made fikr about this. It goes back to that part where Allah Ta'ala said why He created the world. He said, I wanted to show everyone how Islam will become dominant. In this part it says, so do they not see that we are coming to the land, narrowing it down from all its sides? Do they not see that we're coming to the land and decreasing... Hold on, just one second. Okay. Do they not see that we are decreasing the land from all its sides, from all angles? So now this makes you think. In Mecca, the Prophet ﷺ is there. The Sahaba are there. The question is that was Mecca being reduced in its size? Was Mecca being attacked at all? It wasn't being attacked. At the time of Mecca, it wasn't. At the time of Medina, you can start to discuss that there was a battle going on. What is Allah referring to? Don't they see that we're narrowing the land down from all its sides? This is the amazing thing about Islam, is that people are converting all around them. People are converting around Abu Jahl, and Walid ibn Mughira, and Rabi'ah, and Shu'ba, etc., etc. All these people are seeing that my cousin accepted Islam, my brother accepted Islam, my father accepted Islam, my daughter accepted Islam, my wife accepted Islam. All these things are happening and right before their eyes. So it's literally the world is getting smaller and smaller around all of them. That's what Allah is saying here. He's saying, don't they see that the world is short, it's getting smaller and smaller around them because the deen is expanding. And the deen is always peaceful when it expands. You're acting like when the Muslims went up to the area of Philistine and conquered it, or they went to Egypt and conquered it, they said, alright, here's the sword, now all you accept Islam. You think anyone's going to accept Islam? No. The way they accepted it was what? Muslims integrated with the society. So eventually what happened was what? They loved this Islam, and then they just accepted Islam willingly. The population of Egypt literally just took all of Islam altogether. Same thing happened in Palestine. Same thing happened in India. SubhanAllah, we have our entire, you know, Indo-Pak Bangladeshi community. It's just the idea, the product of what? People coming in and peacefully accepting Islam. This is what happens, is that you're seeing this even in America. In this country as well. They just find out that people are accepting Islam. Slowly but surely. They say that that there is a sad reality of 23% of all Muslims leaving Islam. Male to protect us from it. They said 23% of all Muslims in America leave Islam. But they said it's offset or balanced because of the fact that 23% people accept Islam. So all these Christians and Jews around you, you think they're not accepting. You just have to give da'wah to them. I'm telling you, the reality of 1 plus 1 plus 1 equaling 1, it's not easy for people to digest. And if you were to show them what Islam meant, they would willingly want to come towards this religion. Because it makes a lot of sense. Everything Islam says makes sense. So the way Allah says, the same way Makkah is getting surrounded from all sides, every single country which Islam comes into, it starts to surround it from all sides. Allah starts to reduce the area slowly but surely. And then what happens is, Allah says, أَفَهُمُ الْغَالِبُونَ. Then are they the victorious? Will they be the ones successful at the end? Does anyone name their child Abu Jahl? Would anyone name their kid Abu Jahl? For God's sakes, never name your kid Abu Jahl. Okay? Would anyone name their kid Abu Lahab? Does anyone even know who's Walid ibn Mughira when I mentioned him? Who is Walid? You don't know, you don't care. Because these were all the enemies of Islam. Does anyone mention them in the history books? Allah Ta'ala said, you think you want to be victorious against my Prophet? I will destroy you so bad, no one's going to remember you. This is what happened. You think we talk about Abu Lahab and Abu Jahl in a nice way? We don't say radiallahu anhu, right? We don't say anything nice about him. You know, no one mentions, you think we talk about Fir'aun, like, oh yeah, radiallahu anhu. Come on. No one talks about these people at all in a nice way. Afahumul ghalibun. You think they're going to be victorious? Just be patient. Muslims are very impatient. خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ عَجَلٍ. We're created out of haste. We don't like to wait. Mawlana, you're telling me there's only one place to eat that's halal? You're killing me here. You're killing me here. You're destroying me. You're hurting my leg. You're shooting me in the leg here. Man, I waited so long in New York. In New York, we just had problems. That one place that was halal became haram. One place that became haram became halal. We had so many issues for so many years. I'm telling you, decades upon decades of work, you know? Like, subhanAllah, there was a lot of work. MashaAllah, you really had it. I've only been here for 5 years. I'm telling you myself, as a product, I'm like, wow, MashaAllah. Allah Ta'ala gave it real quick. For you all, Allah Ta'ala accept and make it easy. But be patient. Be patient with the effort of Islam. It's a slow effort, but it's a constant effort, and it's a successful effort. It will be successful at the end. So Allah Ta'ala says, He warns them of their false power. This is the idea. Summary is this. He warns them of their false power. Don't think, Quraysh, you're strong now that you have power. Don't think because you have a nuclear weapon, you're strong now. Don't think because you have a strong army, you're strong now. You don't know how Allah Ta'ala will attack you. He literally went into people's bodies and gave them a virus that they couldn't do anything about. Allah is so powerful. So powerful. Nimrud was destroyed by a single mosquito that jumped into his head. Fir'aun, you know, he goes into water. You think water will be so harmless. Crushed him completely. Wind will seem like it's nothing. Destroyed Ad. Samud was destroyed by a sound. Allah can destroy and destroy and destroy and show you you're just like the spider's web to him. It's nothing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كَمَثَلِ بَيْتٍ عَنْكَبُوتٍ اتَّخَذَتْ بَيْتًا كَمَثَلِ عَنْكَبُوتٍ اتَّخَذَتْ بَيْتًا. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran. So Allah Ta'ala says to the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أُنذِرُكُمْ بِالْوَحْيِ. They go and say, Muhammad, you're telling us all these things. You're saying all these things. But where is it coming from? You're saying we're going to be destroyed. You're saying this is going to happen. That is going to happen. This is going to happen. That is going to happen. Where is it coming from, Muhammad? Where is it coming from? How do you know it's going to happen? Look at us today. Look how powerful we are. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told by Allah Ta'ala to say, I only warn you through revelation. Through revelation. Wahi. Wahi is so important. Okay, we'll cover this part and then go to the next part. It says, we need to understand what wahi, revelation is. We don't understand it, we don't appreciate it, we don't value what wahi is. We don't value what the Quran is. We don't value what hadith is. We don't value it. If you understood what it was, you would have valued it. What is wahi? Human beings are trying their best to understand what's happening in life. How to balance the concepts of gender. How to balance the concepts of politics. How to go through economy. How to do this and how to do that. How do I integrate? How do I deal with my family? Right? How do I deal with my brothers? How do I deal with my relatives? How do I deal with my children? How do I deal with my parents? We have so many questions about life. We don't know. Is there a rule book you can go to that will tell you how to do all these things? Human beings are trying their best, but this society is really, really screwing it up. They don't know where they're going with this. They have such a weird understanding about men and women. Now they don't even believe men and women even exist. Nowadays you can even claim whatever you want exists. You can be whatever you want. Someone asked me today, they said, you know, before the gender thing, they used to have like just male, female. Now they just put like a space and said, write whatever you want in there. Right? So I told the guy, I said, write you're a reptile, because why not? And then he goes and says, brother, but I have one of those parts, you know, he's a male. He's like, I have a part, I want to, you know, tell him I do. I said, then write XY. Like, why not? It's what you are, it's not lying, right? But this is the reality of what we're going through.
You know, the ajeeb thing is that they don't even know. They look at themselves in the mirror. They say, I don't even know what I am anymore. This is how Allah, you know, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ.
Don't be like those who forgot Allah. Because if you forget Allah, you will forget yourself. You will forget who you are.
This is what happened in this society. You're seeing it. What is wahi? Wahi is the answer to everything you want. عَلَّمَ الْإِنسَانَ مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمْ.
He teaches man which he did not know. In Surah Al-Alaq, Allah Ta'ala tells him that Allah Ta'ala will teach you what you could never know. How do you know the concepts of these things? How do you know how to deal with your family? How do you know how to deal with the economy and politics? All these things are within wahi, within revelation. It is the highest level of knowledge. Because where does wahi, what does revelation come from? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah that tells you exactly what to do. This is how you deal with your relatives. If I asked you as a Muslim, how do you deal with your relatives? You know how to deal with your relatives. You know how to deal with parents. You know how to deal with children. You know how to deal with your wife. You know how to deal with your husband. Everything in Islam has been defined. The only problem is this, we don't learn any of the rules. We don't know any of the rules. We don't know none of the du'as. We don't know what to do. If we learned it, because the Prophet ﷺ taught us it, we find so much happiness in our lives. All of humanity's problems are addressed through wahi. So the Prophet ﷺ says, "Oh Quraysh, I'm telling you this through revelation. Allah told me about this, you will be destroyed. Don't fight me, don't argue with me, leave me alone, or else this will happen to you." So now the greatest thing that wahi can give you, and this is the most important thing for Muslims, the greatest thing that wahi can tell you, is that it can tell you how you can please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you ask any person in the world, how do you make Allah happy? How do you please Allah? They can't give you an answer. If you go to the Quran, it tells you how to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy, how to please Allah ta'ala, how to get yourself a successful life in this life and the hereafter. Everything's in the Quran. This is the greatest thing that you can get, that you can please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You think all the greatest intellects in the world, if I told them, how many prayers should I do in the day? What would they answer? I mean, we would say five. Because who taught us five? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us five to do. Because he said, this will make Allah ta'ala happy with you. And he taught us that you pray three rakats in Maghrib. If I brought all the doctors and scientists in the world, could they tell me that I have to pray three rakats? They can never tell you it. Who's the only one who could tell you it? Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Value this wahi. Understand what it is. And value the students that learn this stuff. They're memorizing the Quran. They're learning what it means. They're preserving this legacy of teaching people how to live their lives. That's what we do all the time. Half of my job is what? Leading the salah, doing the khutbah and the jumu'ah. Half of my job is dealing with marriage counseling. Dealing with mothers and fathers and parents and, you know, children. All these children are brought here for, because what? Oh, my son is he's a miscreant. He's a bad guy. You know, can you fix him up? I say, sure. Let him sit here. Maybe he'll get some barakah from me talking about something. I don't know. You know, like, our job is what? We're trying to help people. That's the idea here. So the greatest thing that you get from wahi is that you learn how to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet ﷺ says, I warn you to the highest level of knowledge. And what is it? It's not from me. It's not from me. It's not from you. It's not from anyone. No one's allowed to change it. Don't change it. Don't bend it. Don't decide to say that this is because what's happening in today's time is that, you know, gender is a very hot topic, a difficult topic to talk about, so we don't talk about it. No. As Muslims, you say what the Quran says. You hold on to it. You be firm. You trust what Allah told you. Don't doubt it. Don't deny it. Because if you're firm, Allah will change the society around you. But if you decide to bend and break and pretend like you're nothing, Allah will get rid of you and put someone else in your place. This is what's going to happen. A lot of times Muslims come into this country. They came here since the 50s and 60s. Even earlier than that, they've been coming here. But the thing is that many of them weren't firm on their deen. They would pray Jumu'ah on Sundays. Right? The halal and haram food, forget about it. There was not even a discussion about it. But because they weren't firm on their deen, they were just wiped away. We don't even mean to know them anymore. We don't see them anymore. Allah to protect us and protect our generations. But if we don't practice this deen, what's going to happen is 20 years down the line, no one's going to remember us. And another group of people will come and do the work for Allah Ta'ala. That's what's going to happen. Remember, it's not from us. وَلَا يَسْمَعْ سُمُّ الدُّعَى. The Prophet ﷺ is not like us though. When he gives da'wah, his heart melts. His heart melts, alayhi salatu wasalam. You don't know how his da'wah was. We don't understand it. He would go out in the morning, he would get beaten and hurt and abused. Zainab radiallahu anha will come and wipe off the dirt off the face of her father, right? Zainab, the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he will tell her, "Don't worry, daughter. Everything will be fine. Everything will be fine." He tells Khadija radiallahu anha, "Laysa li rahatun ba'd al-yawm. There's no rest for me after today." He's going every single day, as passionate, as wholeheartedly as he can to every single person. Imagine this, you know, he sees his uncles, you know, walking towards the door of Jahannam. You know, this Nabi alayhi salam had to deal with a lot of stress, a lot of tension. And he just wants them to accept Islam. His entire life is just, I want you to accept Islam. Now you and I, we believe in Jannah Jahannam. The Prophet has seen Jannah Jahannam. So his iman is on a different level.
So when these people are not accepting Islam, it's hurting him so much. So Allah Ta'ala tells the Prophet, وَلَا يَسْمَعُ السُّمُّ الدُّعَى. Oh Prophet, calm down. They're deaf. They can't hear you. They're deaf. They can't hear you. You're calling and calling and calling. But if the person cannot hear you in the first place, is there any fault of yours? There's no problem of yours. You're completely fine. Allah Ta'ala tells the Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, don't worry, O Prophet of Allah. You're okay. You're not doing anything wrong. Because you could blame yourself. I'm not doing the effort. لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِرُ نَفْسَكَ. As if you're going to kill yourself because they're not becoming believers. They would stick their fingers in their ears to insult the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They would put things in their ears. They wouldn't listen to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You know how insulting that is? At least, mashallah, you guys are all here trying to listen, indulging me, making me feel a little better about talking about deen. But I don't know, maybe one year out the other, right? It can happen. But imagine Quraysh, the audience of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What are they doing? And he's trying to tell them what? Quran and Hadith, you know? He's reading ayats of the Quran. How disgraceful is that type of action? Someone is talking to you and you're doing this. You're pretending they don't exist. This is Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And so sometimes the da'i, the one who's calling, wants to blame himself and say, perhaps I'm not good enough. Allah Ta'ala says, don't worry. Sometimes the listener, sometimes he's deaf. Nothing's going to get through to them. And sometimes the opposite happens here. And I want to mention this clearly because it's just a side point. Sometimes we want to blame the listener. And I hate this so much. And I see brothers who do this, unfortunately. Allah Ta'ala protect us from it. What is this attitude? That we go and say, you know, وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينُ. You know, we give a very weak da'wah, we give a very weak invitation, and then we say, these people are all jahannamis. وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ. We gave the message. Okay, who did I just explain in the beginning who was giving that da'wah? The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What kind of effort was he doing? What kind of effort are you and I doing? Okay, never say someone is deaf, or they are people like that. Allah Ta'ala told the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam who are deaf. Okay, he didn't tell us who's deaf. Okay? Well, who can't hear? Your job is to keep giving and giving and giving because we never give the proper message. How are you telling me we give the proper message? You know, sometimes we abuse people. We abuse people. Wallahi, we abuse people. Sometimes people say, I only have 5-10 minutes. Give them da'wah for 5-10 minutes. Why do we take 2 freaking hours of their time? Is this helping Islam or destroying Islam? Yusuf alayhi salam said, لَا يَأْتِيُكُمَا تَعَامٌ تُرْزَقَانِمِ إِلَّا نَبَّأْتُكُمَا بِتَأْوِيلِهِ قَبْلَ يَأْتِيَكُمَا. In Surah Yusuf, Yusuf alayhi salam says, before the food comes, I'll tell you the interpretation. Can you spare 5 minutes? Let me give you a little bit of da'wah. He's very, very good with his words. The da'wah that he gives Yusuf alayhi salam is da'wah for all generations. If you know how Yusuf alayhi salam gave da'wah in Surah Yusuf, you can use it wherever you go. It only takes 5 minutes to explain what Islam is. It doesn't take that much effort. But then what do? We take the guy, give him 2-hour bayan and think, wow. Oh, we tried. He fell asleep through like half of it. And the other half, he's like, yeah, Allah, destroy these people because they brought me here. I'm not, you know, unfortunately, this is the reality. Like, the Prophet ﷺ was so good with his da'wah that he never, you think he would give bayan all the time, right? So Sahaba, he never give bayan all the time. Ibn Mas'ud was told by one of his companions and said, we wish you would give da'wah. He only gave bayans on Thursday nights. And they said, Ibn Mas'ud, we would love, he's one of the Sahaba, right? Companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We would love you give da'wah every single day. Please, you know, give us bayan every single day. He said, I don't want to bore you people. I don't want to bore you. He said, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was very careful not to bore us. Not to make it feel like we're tired. That's why once a week, halaqah, you come in, mashallah, just try your best to stay awake for the next 35, 40 minutes, mashallah. And then you make Mawasa feel happy, he makes dua for you. Everyone goes home, alhamdulillah, Rabbi, happy, you know, mashallah. Allah Ta'ala, give us hidayah and understanding. Don't blame the listener ever. This is su'ul adab with Allah. Allah has sent you to give da'wah. You try your utmost best. And if you could not make da'wah in the morning, you make du'a at night time. That's the rule. If I screwed up in the da'wah, I make du'a. Many times our words didn't work. Night time I'm calling Allah, Allah, forgive me for my mistake. Ya Allah, you guide them from your means. There was this brother Kent who accepted Islam last Friday. I think if you guys heard how he accepted Islam, I don't know if some of you heard it. Mashallah, may Allah accept him and protect him. He said, I'm not making this up. He told me this. He said, I went through a near-death accident when I was younger at 25. He said, and I saw my soul go up. He said, I kid you not, I saw my soul go up. And I saw Jesus there. Okay? And you're already thinking, like, if he saw Jesus, he should have become more Christian. But this, check this out. He said, I saw Jesus there. And he said that I saw, when I was asking Jesus for help, he wasn't replying to me. He wasn't responding to me. He wasn't giving jawab. And so I realized at that moment that Jesus cannot help anyone. Only Allah can. And he came to accept Islam. What da'wah can I give compared to that? Your da'wah compared to Allah's da'wah, Asman Zameen Farq.
فَرْقٌ بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. It's completely different. You should be very careful about it. وَلَئِنَّ مَسَّتْهُمْ نَفْحَةٌ مِّنْ عَذَابِ رَبِّكَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finishes off with this final reminder to the Quraysh. He says, if a mere breath of your Lord's torment were to touch them, he would surely say, يَا وَيْلَنَا إِنَّا كُنَّا ظَالِمِينَ. You need to understand this from the Arabic. Okay? Woe to us, we are indeed wrongdoers. If a single breath of Allah Ta'ala's torment, a single wind were to come, they would say, woe to us, we would have been zalim, we were oppressors. So you need to understand it from the Arabic. Arabic is an amazing language. Nafasa, there are a whole bunch of words. The word in Arabic here is nafha, nafhatun, right? Nafhatun min adhabi rabbik, right? Arabic is an amazing language. Nafasa means to breathe. Nafasa means to breathe. Nafatha with a tha, which means to breathe, but with lightly, with like a little bit of spittle in it. Like, nafatha. It's very light. The same way it's seen as little heavy, becomes a breath. With a tha, becomes light. Contrast this with nafakha, which means to breathe very heavily. Nafkha. Okay? So the Arabic, literally you're changing the last letter, and it's changing the impact or the magnitude, the strength of the breath. Okay? Do you get the word nafaha, which is a gentle breeze? Okay, the idea of nafaha is when you open the door and a nice breeze comes in. That's nafha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when I open the door of Jahannam, that gentle breeze that comes out from the door, if it were to touch the person, they would say, ya Allah, we regret everything we're doing in our life. Just from the nafha of Jahannam. Now if that's the case with that single gentle breeze, what's going to happen if they actually enter the punishment? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. We get some nonsense Muslims. You probably never deal with them up here. I dealt with them in New York. They said, you know, if we just, you know, we could sin a little bit in this life and go to Jahannam for a little bit. Allah, you people are crazy people. You are crazy people. Majnoon people. You can't even take a single breath, a single breeze. The door just opened for Jahannam. You didn't even enter. And you say, Allah, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. That's what people are going to do. You're going to spend a vacation there? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from such things. Allah to protect us from such thoughts. You quote this ayah to them. If anyone ever tells you this, you think you're going to spend a couple days in there? You're not even going there. Oh Quraysh, let the arrogance fade. Drop the arrogance. Leave the kibr. Don't try against Allah. Allah ta'ala is all just and He's all kind and He's all merciful. He will let you accept Islam. But if you don't accept it, everyone will beg to Allah at the end of their days. This is what's going to happen. وَنَدْعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. The last ayah that we'll cover for today. It's a beautiful ayah. Extraordinary ayah. لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ فَلَا تُذْنَبُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا وَإِنْ كَانَ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِنْ خَرْضٍ أَتَيْنَا بِهَا وَكَفَى بِنَا حَاسِبِينَ. It's a beautiful ayah. It says, we shall place the scales to do justice on the day of judgment. So no one shall be wronged in the least. Even if it's the measure of a mustard seed, we will bring it forth and we are enough to take account. It's a beautiful ayah. Has so many messages. The first thing is, first and foremost, is that I have to make this clear about the zalim on the day of judgment. You think on the day of judgment, when the zalim, the oppressor is brought, Allah Ta'ala will not deal with him unjustly. Allah Ta'ala never deals with anyone unjustly. Even the oppressor will be dealt with justly. Allah Ta'ala will bring all his crimes and say, based on these crimes, this is your punishment. Allah Ta'ala will never deal with anyone with dhulm, waliyadu billah. Allah deals with everyone with adl, because He is Rahman. You have to remember it. Anyone who oppressed in this life, Allah Ta'ala will give them a just punishment in the hereafter. It's going to happen to them. Now, even they will be dealt justly. Because these scales will be brought up. نَدْعُ الْمَوَازِينَ. People think that you only have one mizan on the Day of Judgment. Is there only one mizan? Allah Ta'ala said, مَوَازِينَ. How many scales are we talking about? We're talking about an uncountable number of measurements for all of humankind and jinnkind. What does this mean? Allah Ta'ala will measure your salah in a scale. Allah Ta'ala will measure your zakat in a scale. Allah Ta'ala will measure your hajj in a scale. Allah Ta'ala will measure your ibadah, your tasbih in a scale. Allah Ta'ala will measure your dhikr in a scale. Allah will measure your smiling in a scale. Allah Ta'ala will measure every single good deed will be brought, and each one will be given a scale to weigh it and see how much it weighs. The mawazin will be brought, and everything will be brought. Mizan will be brought between people. Allah Ta'ala will weigh it between two people. A husband and wife will say, Allah, we had all these disagreements in this world. On the Day of Judgment, Allah Ta'ala will bring out the scale, and now He'll say which one is heavier, which one is lighter. Same thing will happen between brothers and family and relatives. Be very careful about that scale. It's extremely precise. Extremely precise. What is the precision of the scale on the Day of Judgment? وَفَمَن يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ. That even the weight of an atom will be brought on that day. That much difference will be estimated and it will be measured on that day.
There's an uncountable number of scales and measurements on that day for all of humankind and jinnkind. And is it possible in this life to have unfair scales? Mawazin al-qist, Allah Ta'ala says. Definitely I can work the scale, and I can forge a scale and make a scale that is unfair. You put something on there, I can make a magnet underneath, and I can make it way heavier. Allah Ta'ala says they're not unjust scales. They are fair scales. They are balanced scales. All the scales will be just on Qiyamah. You're not going to find any injustice on that day for anyone on that day. And Allah Ta'ala will place them effortlessly. نَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ Then the next part, which is amazing, is Allah Ta'ala says we placed it for the Day of Judgment, not on the Day of Judgment. And for you to understand this, it's a very simple example. The example is this. A person can say, I bought decorations on Eid. And someone could say, I bought decorations for Eid. What is the difference between saying, I bought it on Eid and bought it for Eid? A person who bought decorations on Eid, he might use it for Eid, he might use it for after Eid, he might use it for any day. If a person says, I bought decorations for Eid, what does that mean? Specifically for the day of Eid, I bought it for that. I made it for that. This is the reason why I got them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the reason why these scales are there is only for the Day of Judgment. Allah Ta'ala says, I made a creation, a special creation just for Qiyamah. Can you imagine that? Allah is creating all the time. He says, I have a special creation for Qiyamah. These are the Mizan. The Mizan are special creations of Allah. Allah says, on the Day of Judgment, I will make all of them, and then or they're already made. Allah will form all of them, and then He will place them there so that everyone gets justice. He said, they're only made for the Day of Judgment, exclusive for the Day of Judgment. This is how important that day is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that no one could say we were oppressed. This is what's going to happen. People are going to claim we weren't oppressed. We were oppressed. Allah says, no one will claim they were oppressed. فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا No one will be oppressed. A wife will get her just due. Her husband was miserable to her. Her husband was evil to her. She made so much sabr in that house. Allah Ta'ala said, I will give you the fair balance on that day. And the same thing for the husband who felt like his life was just miserable. He was just like he was a dog his entire life. Or rather, he was a donkey for most of his life because he was carrying books and studying. Then the next part of his life, he worked like a dog. And the last part of his life, he's like an owl. He just watches and looks at things. Right? That's what a man's life is, unfortunately. We are himal in the beginning, then we become kalb, then we become boom. That's the word for it in Arabic. Right? You are a person who studies your entire life, like a donkey carrying your books on your. Then the next part of your life, you work like a dog. No one appreciates the work. Husband is so underappreciated. Who does everyone remember? They always remember mother. Do we remember father? Very rarely it comes up. Mother remember three times in Islam. Father one time. I'm just saying it. This is afsos of a father. Please mind, mashallah. We love our kids so much. We try our best, but what can you do? We work like a dog, and at the end we're just going to look around like owls. Head's going to move this way and that way. So what Allah will make the mizan. You had a relative that you didn't like in this world? Mizan is there for you. You had an oppressor or ruler in this world? Mizan is there for you. You know, there's a mizan for everyone. Your boss treated you bad and dirty? Mizan is on the Day of Judgment. Committee, you didn't like the committee. Allah protect us. But this is the reality of people who have amanat, the responsibility. You didn't like the imam stuff. I'll say it for myself too. You know, anyone. You didn't like any alim. Mizan is there on the Day of Judgment. Allah will weigh everything. I'm not even joking about how much Allah will weigh. That mizan is so precise. As fair as possible. As godly possible, Allah will make it. He will make it completely fair. And Allah Ta'ala said, وَإِنْ كَانَ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ Even if it were a mustard seed. I got the picture for you for a mustard seed. This is the penny, the Canadian penny. That's a mustard seed, right next to it. This is the smallest thing that the Arabs could consider in their time. So Allah Ta'ala said, the smallest thing you can consider, I will bring it on the Day of Judgment. What is the smallest thing according to us? Atoms. Allah says, that smallest thing according to you is atoms. And I'm telling you this, wallahi, Allah will bring even smaller than atoms on that day. Allah will bring even smaller than atoms on that day. Nothing will be out of balance. That's how small Allah will make, how precise the precision on that day will be the mizan. If you felt even a little injustice, that's why I always ask everyone for forgiveness. Because I don't know. I don't want you on the judgment to get me. Because Allah will make it extremely precise. As little as you can imagine is there and even beyond that. Okay? Now you have trillions of audits. How many human beings are in the world? Trillions. Trillions. How many jinnat are there? I don't even know. I can't even count that. Okay, imagine bringing your accountant because it's tax season, right? Like here's like 100 papers, 100 taxes. You know, he's going to be happy in the beginning, but then the stress of having to deal with all those papers, he's going to become perishan. Imagine bringing a million papers. Don't forget about a trillion. A trillion audits, trillions and trillions of audits. And they cannot miss a single penny. And even smaller than a penny. trillions of audits, millions, you can't miss anything smaller than a penny, and uncountable categories of items. You know, because when you bring your tax return, your tax papers to them, they collect it in terms of items. You have this asset, this property, this and this and this and this, right? They have certain items that they check, okay? How many items on the Day of Judgment to check? Everything that makes you a human, insan, Allah will check that on the Day of Judgment. He's going to check absolutely everything. And so on that, there's so many things to do. Could any human ever do that? Could they weigh sadness, happiness, anxiety, stress, fear, love, and joy? You are going to get that weighed too. Your feelings will be weighed. Who's up to the task? Who can do it? No one in all existence can do it. Allah Ta'ala says, وَكَفَى بِنَا حَاسِبِينَ. Allah says, I don't need anyone else. I'm enough to do it by myself. I can do it myself. This is why Allah Ta'ala ends the ayah in a beautiful way. He tells us that don't worry. Life is stressful. I know it. I know it myself. Everyone here knows it. Life is stressful. We have always power balance imbalances. Things don't make sense. Injustice happens. Dhul happens. Allah says, don't worry. On the Day of Judgment, the scales that we brought, I will make you happy. I will make you happy. Because I wouldn't trust anyone else with the scales on that day. I wouldn't trust anyone else. But if Allah Ta'ala were to do it, I completely trust Him. If He's going to do it, everything will be fine. Allah Ta'ala gives us understanding and tawfiq. Allow us to appreciate what the Day of Judgment is. Allow us to think about what the Day of Judgment is. Allow us to ask people forgiveness before we don't have a chance to ask for forgiveness anymore. Allah Ta'ala allow us on the Day of Judgment, no one takes from any of our good deeds. Make dua to Allah. Allah Ta'ala save us from ghiba, from hasad, from ghadab, from anger, from malice, from hating people, from backbiting people. Make dua to Allah. Allah save us from all these things. So we on the Day of Judgment, you come in completely free, inshallah ta'ala. Allah to put us into Jannah Firdaus directly with Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah give us all so much tawfiq. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 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 Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.